Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens, I'm a business marketer, and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we have almost 5,000 participants across the world. If this is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If you've been with us before, welcome back. It's good to see you again. Every profession needs its heroes, the people who have the courage to challenge convention, drive outstanding achievement, and give the discipline a noble name. In this episode, we'll be speaking in depth to one such hero, learn about what they do, how they've got here, and a bit about what's made them who they are today. I'm delighted to be joined today by the Global Head of Marketing Programs and Digital at CoreSign, Joe Clegg. Joe, welcome to our podcast.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. So we're recording this over Zoom. So for the benefit of our listeners, where on earth in the world do we find you today?
I'd like to say in sunny Streatham, but it's raining as usual. So yeah, it's South London.
and that's home, right, rather than office.
Yeah. So we're, I suppose, still in that COVID environment. So office a couple of days of the week and, yeah, working from home the others.
Cool. And do you have a preference?
I'm probably one of those actually that sways to the office. I think I mentioned this to someone the other day that I'd be happy to go back to a 5-day office week. I do like the fact you can get work done at home. You know, you can have that quiet time. When it's quiet to get your head down. But I just in marketing, I feel you need to have that connection across the business. And I really have struggled with COVID to do that. You know, you can't put in a Zoom call 3 weeks in advance for a chit chat. It tends to get put, you know, replace for something more important, if you know what I mean.
So that leads us quite neatly into your role. So let's start off with CoreSign. What does CoreSign do?
So we're all about making digital identity simple and secure. So that's, you know, when you're making an online transaction, whether that's logging into your bank or making a payment, we're making sure that the transaction is safe, that it is you yourself making that transaction, but also that it's seamless. You know, a lot of times there's a lot of friction, whether that's a simple SMS OTP or something like that, that sort of creates a hurdle in the journey. So we're all about sort of ensuring that you can get on with life and your digital life whilst being secure at the same time.
Okay. And your role is Global Head of Marketing Programs and Digital. What does that mean?
It's probably the most broad and vague job title of them all, I think. But it embodies everything really from sort of, I suppose, the online presence, whether that's social media, the website, blogs and all those sorts of important channels. But really, I think more broadly, looking at the messaging and the tone of voice and the brand as well, making sure that we've got really sort of informative, engaging thought leadership content that's going out, liaising with the sales team to make sure that they've got good, strong enablement materials, working sort of across the rest of the business, whether that's support, client account teams, to make sure communications are there, campaigns are going out and all that sort of fantastic stuff as well. So quite a broad remit. Just really making sure that CoreSign's really positioned where it should be and reaching the right audiences, I suppose.
And I guess with a remit as broad as that, the challenge is kind of where do you focus in all of this? So what are the things in all of that that you really enjoy? What are the things that you see as being, you know, the real challenges that you need to be able to focus on?
Yeah, I think I'm really lucky in this role. I think that it's that nice mix of sort of analytic and creative. You know, we look after the operational side of things. And I think sometimes a little bit of a geek at heart. So I still even love looking at that data and, you know, being able to analyze it. I think anyone who's worked in digital marketing can't say they don't love a bit of data. so really, you know, I still love the fact I can be involved in that side of things, because I think it is fascinating to sort of see how things are going and where that barometer lies. But I think more broadly, I really enjoy the fact there's a lot of touch points across the organization. Right. And really love to be part of the messaging and the tone of voice and crafting those bits of content. Because I think I'm really passionate about the industry working and really passionate about what we do. And so being able to sort of be behind all of that is just so exciting and unique, you know, to really be allowed to be so closely involved in it, really. But as always, a challenge is making sure that it's elevated and reaching the right audiences. And, you know, we're really doing a lot of work to grow the brand, and it's working, but it's hard work.
Mm-hmm. But rewarding work then, I guess. So how did you get here, Joe? What are the key steps on your career journey to getting to CoreSign?
Funny one, really. I suppose like every most marketers really stumbled into it. I way back when I was sort of 16, I had this passion living in the north of England in a tiny village in Cumbria that I was going to work in record labels and change the music world, and moved down to London to try and live that dream, and soon realized I was going to be working to about 45 for free and then might have a job that was paid. So very quickly, I suppose, reached out to my broader network and actually asked if there was any PR jobs going or just any opportunities for work experience really around PR. That was where I kind of started to go to when I was sort of interning at record labels and those bits and pieces. And luckily got this job, a 6-month contract to just sort of, and it was really lucky that it was 6 months. I've never seen a 6-month internship before. And they were just looking for someone to support really, to just help out to see if they did need the headcount. Right. I was then kept on a rolling 6-month contract for about 2 years before I came a permanent employee, which was in digital marketing, probably because I was the only person willing to try and go into the internet and work a computer and all those sorts of things, and young and keen. And I think that's really something that's followed sort of through my career, is I suppose not being young but keen, and just to get involved in I suppose anything and everything around marketing, and just really, really wanting to learn and evolve and adapt and change. And I think that's really key for marketers to be able to do. And it's certainly paid dividends across my career. And I was really lucky that I think that sort of passion and sort of work mentality allowed me to sort of put forward to go through, do one of those sort of Chartered Institute of Marketing diplomas. And that really changed my career. Going into marketing, I don't think many people have sort of that background. They might have touched on bits and bobs from university or any other sort of education they've had, but being able to do that really opened my eyes to sort of why we do what we do and how to reach, you know, particular audiences, and sort of, I suppose, all the theory behind it, which allowed me to have more engaging conversations with stakeholders, which then, I suppose, then helps at that next step of the career. And I'm really lucky as well with the BMC. About that time is when I sort of discovered the BMC.
All right.
And yeah, I think the way that, you know, you guys help nurture and network and build that has really just flowed through my career. And I think the next few steps have really just been through networking and engaging with the wider sort of community and learning from them. And I'd absolutely recommend for just everybody in marketing. I know a lot of people do because we're keen and we're usually quite extrovert in sort of in our personalities. But I think networking and sort of engaging with the wider community is just so important. You can learn so much.
Yeah, I'd certainly echo that. The point about the qualifications is really interesting, because quite often I think people have a dilemma in their careers about if they're going to get marketing qualified, when in their career do they do it? You know, do you do it straight away before you jump into actually practically doing marketing, or do you leave it a while and risk just then getting disillusioned by the qualification because it doesn't bear much resemblance to your day to day? It sounds like though you took the kind of middle way of, you know, knowing a bit about the profession, but perhaps actually not being a kind of dyed-in-the-wool marketing expert before you took your CIM.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't change anything for the world in terms of the process that I did. I think sometimes you can, and I think learning the theory at any point is useful, you know, because it does help to just reinforce and add value and clarity to what you're trying to say. But I think looking at it very early on, you sort of have nothing to be able to relate it back to. And I remember being in the room with some individuals who were sort of just hot out of university looking to go into marketing. And so they went straight into doing this diploma. And I think it was not a step too far, but they needed that context to be able to ground their thinking. And so I was really lucky that I think I was probably about 2 years, maybe 3 years into my career, And I was being pushed to do the digital marketing qualification and sort of pushed back and said, no, I think that's going to stifle me. I'd like to do the broad one. And, you know, at the time, I remember the business couldn't quite understand why I'd want to do that. You know, I was a digital marketer, and it was back in the time when there was a real need for a digital marketing function in the business. Now, I think everyone should have that expertise, but or does have that expertise rather. And I'm glad I pushed for that broader understanding of sort of the professional marketing, if anyone's interested, of the CIM level six. And having been able to sort of utilize case studies from my organization and ground that thinking really helped with it. But I do think later on, you sort of get a bit, well, I kind of know it. So you kind of like, you know, these things are expensive and time consuming to do and stressful. And I think trying to do it before you sort of, you know, I was looking at it before children and all those sorts of bits and pieces. So I think it's the right time and right place. But for anyone thinking about training at that level, you know, I know they do higher. I do think they're worthwhile. You know, I'd happily do something further as well if, you know, later on in my career, maybe an MBA or something like that. Mm.
Yeah. And the point you made about networking, I thought was really well made. But it's difficult to do networking nowadays, right? Because most people are stuck at home. You know, I'm interviewing you from the top of my house. You're being interviewed from a very nice looking living room. So you know, actually the going out and networking bit requires a bit more effort than it used to.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I think it's probably something I really struggled with during lockdown. You know, I think a lot of people probably did as well. You know, not, you know, just in terms of friendship groups, being able to, you know, I've got a lot of friends that work in sort of whether it's financial organizations or sales or, you know, all those sorts of bits and pieces where you can sort of ask them more broader questions as well. I think this networking between sort of like-minded individuals within marketing, but also asking more broader business related challenges and questions to those types of groups as well. But I think from a marketing perspective, I think, you know, it was really difficult to have that face to face. But, you know, I remember, you know, you guys putting out some really great ideas around podcasts and webinars and all those sorts of bits and pieces. And I particularly remember early on the sort of COVID how to deal with it type webinar that was, and I thought that was really, really good idea because it allowed for us to sort of engage with that community and still take some of that learning, although it was one, you know, one directional. I think it was really valuable. And I think it sort of keeps things going for when the world is opening up like it is now, to be able to come back to those networking sessions and still have some form of relationship or anchor point to be able to hang on to. But yeah, fundamentally, it's really difficult, I think, to have that broad network in lockdown. And I think I'd be interested to sort of hear as the BMC becomes more in person again, how we all dealt with it and what we learned from it.
No, very definitely. So you come across as really, really passionate about your job. What is it that you love about business marketing? Is it the very latest in digital? Is it the opportunity to kind of keep discovering things that's keeping you engaged? What do you love about it?
I think there's a few things. I think one of the main things is that, weirdly, I love the fact it's a long sell. You know, I think for the majority of B2B, it's a long sell. And that you need to know so much more about your business and the businesses that you're selling to. You know, and I think when I look at it from that perspective, I think it's fascinating. You've got to be engaged with all aspects of the business to be a good marketer, from product right through to support, sales, technology, you know, all those important bits and pieces. And I think for me, being able to, that I think what fuels me and drives those ideas and how you can support and really actually make all those different departments shine. And, you know, I think businesses are fascinating things. You've got all of these sort of individual parts sort of working together to sort of make something happen. And I always think of it's like opening a watch face for the first, you know, back of the watch for the first time. You see all these cogs and think, I know they all kind of work together to make the clock tick, but I don't quite know what each sort of cog is there for and what its purpose is and what it's driving. And I think, you know, what I really love is being able to go and speak to those people and go, actually, this is fantastic. Oh, we can help you do this. And this is how we can help you then, you know, how this will help the business grow and all those sorts of bits and pieces. And I think then reflecting that on the other organization as well and going, how can we find the right, you know, individuals or audiences within those organizations to sell to and craft the right message and the right brand and visual elements that's going to resonate with those audiences. And I think that really fuels me and excites me. It stops, I think, it ever being boring. I'm super extrovert, so for me it needs to have that constant drive and change and all those sorts of bits and pieces, which is great. And I think it just suits me, being sort of both a creative and an analytical brain, that it fuels both of those needs, I suppose.
And what about the nature of business marketing itself? Because that's changed over the last few decades, and it will change again. Is there something in that evolution that interests you as well?
Yeah, I think so, actually. I think it's interesting at the moment, because I think I remember looking back probably about 3 or 4 years ago and not getting disheartened, but getting a bit bored, thinking it's a lot of repetition. And we've been talking a lot about networking and stuff like that. And, you know, everyone's talking about, oh, we should be more B2C and how can we be more exciting and more creative? And I'm thinking, I got to a point thinking, we just do it. You know, it's just, what is holding us back and all this sort of stuff? And I think I've recently noticed that shift has really come in. And, you know, I work with a fantastic team at CallSign, who are just so, so talented and are really pushing the boundaries of B2B thinking and design and copy and all those sorts of fantastic bits. But I think I look at the evolution of digital, really, and it's really grown. And I think we always relate it back to the pandemic, but I think it was on the up sort of a couple of years before. And now I look at sort of B2B organizations like QuickBooks, for example, who needing to reach a small, medium enterprise audience, or even smaller, and going, right, we'll turn to television, or we'll turn to these types of medias to resonate with our audience a little better. But then they're needing to have these more extravagant and creative brands that's going to resonate in those types of formats. And I think it's kind of I don't think they are the catalyst or the push, but I think, you know, us as marketers and broader business seeing it are starting to go, okay, this is interesting, becoming more comfortable with this notion that business marketing can be interesting, understanding what marketing is trying to do a little better, because it's sort of in an environment that they can understand from that perspective. And I think it's really exciting to see that shift. And I was at an event the other day talking to someone from the C-suite, and they got so excited about their brand logo, which I'd never heard before. And the logo was an electric pink, which the organization itself is over 200 years old. And they've gone from having a grayscale, an inverted logo, you know, so either black or white, to a multicolor logo that can be electric pink and overlaid over imagery. And they were talking about how this logo was allowing them to be able to embody the brand a lot more and showcase the thinking and feeling and just broadening the horizons of what they're able to achieve and do. And I thought that was really fascinating, and thought, wow, this is a bit of a turning point, that you've got those big behemoth organizations who were, you know, you can only use these five images and a black and white logo, which stifles a lot of the business, to go, and actually, here's an open book. Yeah. These are sort of some guardrails and constraints that we've got within it. Let's see what we can do. And I thought that was just a really interesting shift, I suppose.
And do you see that therefore continuing? You know, do you see us getting to a point where actually there's no such thing as business marketing? It's just marketing.
Oh, I'd love that. Personally, I think there's always a definition, right? You've got to, because I think the two very different theories and concepts behind business consumer, business to business marketing, I think, you know, in terms of how you develop propositions and all those sorts of bits and pieces, right? But I think realistically, it's one of those things where as soon as you sometimes put a stamp or a tag or whatever it is on it, you end up accidentally stifling things. And I think sometimes, you know, you can separate the two, right? One is just the fact that you are marketing to businesses, and one is the fact you're marketing to consumers. But it doesn't mean you can't have a brand that's creative, and doesn't mean you can't have a brand that's visually compelling. Doesn't mean you can't have a brand that's willing to push difficult conversations and have challenges. Doesn't mean you can't have a brand that's willing to do something good for the environment. You know, it seems to be that, you know, when it's in a B2B, it's a CSR piece. When it's part of a big consumer brand, it's just the brand. That's what they do. And I think it's really interesting when you start to break apart these bits and pieces to go, actually, maybe some things are just the fact that we can, if we take off these guardrails that we've created ourselves, we can achieve a lot more, I suppose.
That's interesting. That's very true. Let's go to recommended reading then, Joe. So is there a... given what we've talked about, I was going to say a recommended business marketing book, but to hell, a marketing book that you would recommend, or a website or a model, something that our listeners can check out?
Yeah, I think there's two books that I sort of read, actually, both of them weirdly quite recently, that really have changed my thinking in terms of day-to-day attitudes. They're not necessarily business marketing books, but I'd probably class them as business books, if you know what I mean. So the first one is The Cultural Map by Erin Mayer. And that really looks into why we think different regionally across the world. And it's not that we're right or wrong. It's more just these are the types of traits that we're used to growing up with, or the cultures and how that informs our thinking and our beliefs and our hierarchical structures within business organizations, which then might mean how and why we say things like that we do between meetings, right? So it might be easier for, you know, in our culture, we know how we want to get sort of a proposal pushed through. But if you try and take our thinking and our philosophy over to, say, an Asian audience, it's a very different structure, a very different mentality. And I think I've always been lucky that from the start of my career, I've been in global roles, which I know is sometimes sort of quite rare. But, you know, I've made lots of mistakes when I was sort of starting out in, you know, not quite understanding the differences in regionally in culture across the world. And I think this book sort of made me go, oh, OK, that's why this happened in my, you know, or this is why this was a difficult conversation when it needed to have been. And so it was kind of just a really great book to read and go for, you know, and I recommend it for anyone who works globally or even, you know, sort of regionally across Europe, Americas and all those sorts of bits and pieces to just go and just help have some of those conversations and realize that maybe actually it could be the way that you're approaching the situation, not necessarily the other person.
I can think of times in my career where that would have been a real help to me as well. So I will look that one up. What's your second book?
This is what I'm still actually currently reading, but it's just fantastic. It's called, my boss recommended it to me, and it's Rebel Ideas by Matthew Syed. And it's very much all about how team dynamics and structures are built. And so, you know, ensuring that, you know, you're bringing the right mix of individuals and thinking into your team, because actually if you sort of, you can end up accidentally creating bias within a team by hiring like-minded individuals. And so actually starting to bring, and it might just not be within your day-to-day team structure, but when you're creating a project, ensuring that you're bringing the right people from across the organization in there, I suppose, so you don't miss your blind spots. It's just a great book with real life examples to go, you know, one of those classics of, this is something that happened, and you know, this is why it fell apart because of these particular reasons. So yeah, those two books are just really fascinating insights, I suppose, of when something's gone wrong, why it's gone wrong.
Yeah, yeah. and make sure it doesn't go wrong again. That's cool. And yeah. How about what should people do if they want to find out more about CallSign?
Visit our website. It's an absolute, my absolute pride and joy. We've created a fantastic website that's
just, is there a page we should visit that you're particularly proud of, Joe?
Yeah, I should give you it. It's callsign.com. Cool. And yeah, it's from a marketing perspective, we love it. It's really pushed some boundaries and trying to do things differently.
And any feedback on Joe Clegg's website to Joe Clegg at CallSign?
Yes, please do. I think it's really important to get feedback. You know, I'd love to hear it.
Joe, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. Thanks a lot, mate. Take care.
No, thanks so much. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Cheers. And that's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guest, Joe Clegg. Thanks to our technical man from Through the Eye, Andrew Gratian. And thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can. And email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. If there's more where this came from, just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk. I hope to see you again. Thanks for listening.